You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you for tuning in. You can be a big part. Join us on the lines or the text, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Well, continued fallout from the signal discussion. Oh, we didn't.
Discussion breach.
I was Jane Metnair on air earlier today. If you check her fine show out, she's amazing. Her and Greg, getting it on. The story came up. Of course, this is the news, and Jane referred to them as the Emoji Boys. It seems appropriate. The Emoji Boys.
I mean, that's the level of professionalism and decorum.
Maturity.
That we're taking. I mean, emojis are great. Do I use it when I'm talking about something that's, you know, really important?
I mean, you know, hey, we're bombing people. Thumbs up. Great. I mean,
fist bump.
And not even, fist bump. And not even going to whether or not that was appropriate. I'm not even going there. That's not even that is something that
you use whatever characters float your goat.
Come on, man. But there was a Senate Intelligence Committee hearing today, and I thought to myself, man, they got their act together quick. But apparently, this was already
planned. Okay, this is the annual Senate intelligence hearing that they have to, you know, look at worldwide threats that might impact the United States. It just so happened that today they were coming from inside the House.
The call is coming from inside the House. We have Senator Mark Warner. He is the minority on this committee. And Senator John Ossoff, I thought, did a great job. We're going to get to some of this sound. 855-752-4842. The continued playing down of the seriousness of this by this administration. They can't deny it didn't happen, right? They can attack.
Well, they're trying. Some of them are trying.
Well, no, there was nothing. There was no security, no big deal. There was no secrets there. And one of them was like, well, okay, if there weren't any, then can you just send it out now? Yeah, share it all right now.
Yeah.
Share it all. Oh, they're not doing that. So please be patient. Let's hear some of the sounds. Senator Mark Warner, his opening remarks at the Senate Intelligence Committee today. Let's start with cut number one.
Sure. Senator Warner is the vice chair of this committee, so he had the second remarks here.
I want to first of all address the recent story that has broken in the news. Yesterday, we stunningly learned that senior members of this administration, and according to reports, two of our witnesses here today were members of a group chat that discussed highly sensitive and likely classified information that supposedly even included weapons packages, targets, and timing, and included the name of an active CIA agent.
Oops.
Putting aside for a moment that classified information should never be discussed over an unclassified system, it's also just mind-boggling to me that all these senior folks were on this line and nobody bothered to even check.
Right!
Security Hygiene 101. Who are all the names? Who are they? Well, it apparently included a journalist. And no matter how much the Secretary of Defense or others want to disparage him, this journalist had at least the ethics to not report, I think, everything he heard. Question I raise is like, you know, everybody on this committee gets briefed on security protocols. We're told you don't make calls outside of SCIFs of this kind of classified nature.
I mean, Senator Warner, with all due respect, Hagseth was probably hungover at the time. So you really can't blame the guy.
Hey, he might not have been hungover.
He might still have been drunk. I mean, hangovers imply you stop sometimes. Right? You never get hungover if you never stop. Right, Pete? You know what I'm saying, brother? Senator Mark Warner, continuing on at the Senate Intelligence Committee, cut number two, please.
That this is not a one-off or a first-time error.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Let me take a couple minutes and review some of the other reckless choices that this administration has made regarding our national security. We all recall, it seems like it wasn't that long ago, but less than 2 months ago, in the first 2 weeks, the administration canceled all U.S. foreign assistance. Now, some may say, how bad can that be? It's foreign assistance. Well, U.S. foreign assistance paid for the units in Ukraine that provide air defense to civilian cities being attacked by Russia. Foreign assistance paid for guarding camps in Syria where ISIS fighters are detained. Foreign assistance paid for programs abroad that ensure that diseases like Ebola don't come home. And until recently, it paid for the construction of a railway in Africa that would have helped given the United States much needed access to critical minerals in Congo. Now that project, China's going to try to finance it.
Yeah, so not only are they reckless with this current situation, they also have no respect or understanding of soft power. Let's continue on. Senator Mark Warner at the Senate Intelligence Committee today. Cut three, please, Jess.
In the first 2 weeks, Director Patel, the administration fired several of our most experienced FBI agents, including the head of the Criminal Investigative Division, the head of the Intelligence Division, the head of the Counterterrorism Division, the heads of the New York, Washington, and Miami field office, all individuals who were distinctly and directly responsible for helping to keep America safe. The irony in a little bit was the recently dismissed head of the Counterterrorism Division was involved in disrupting the ISIS attacks planned for Oklahoma City and Philadelphia and helped lead the effort to bring to justice the key planner of the Abbey Gate bombing in Afghanistan. He killed 13 U.S. servicemen and 150 civilians. That very Abbey Gate effort was actually praised by the president in his State of the Union address. Yet the administration's response to these agents, I believe, good works and years of service, was to force these folks out. It's hard to imagine how that makes our country safer.
Well, they're just not loyal enough, Senator Warner.
Mm-hmm.
You got to sign the oath, baby. You got to stand. Yeah. You got to get in line. And of course, you know, you don't want the old guard. You got to get your crew in there.
Right.
Senator John Ossoff, Democrat from Georgia, lighting up John Ratcliffe. Now, Ratcliffe's the CIA director, I believe.
Correct.
And I thought this, is some of the most pointed question and answer. Well, certainly good questions.
Excellent questions. Yeah, I mean,
all you can do is ask the questions.
Uh-huh.
But I think the demeanor of both men here, and you can hear it in their voices. John Ossoff is not messing around. And John Ratcliffe doesn't want to talk about it.
Doing nothing but messing around.
Let's hear cut number one, Senator John Ossoff.
Thank you all for joining us and for your service. Just to make sure I understand some of the basics here. So, Director Ratcliffe, you were a member of the Houthi PC small group signal chain, correct?
I was.
Yeah, and so were the Vice President, the Secretaries of State and Defense, the National Security Advisor.
All the coffee boys.
Ms. Gabbard, correct?
I believe so. I don't have a list of who was invited to be on.
So was national political reporter Jeffrey Goldberg, correct?
I don't know that.
What?
Yes, you do.
I don't know Jeffrey Goldberg, and I've already testified. I don't know whether or how he was added.
Okay, well, he was a member of the signal chain, and the discussion included the vice president's private opinion on the wisdom of proposed U.S. strikes in Yemen, correct?
I don't recall.
Vance, quote, "I think we are making a mistake. I am not sure the president is aware of how inconsistent this is with his message on Europe right now. There was a strong argument for delaying this a month." You don't recall? You don't recall seeing that?
Read that. I don't.
It included the private opinions of the Secretary of Defense on the timing of strikes in Yemen, correct?
I don't recall.
Director Ratcliffe, surely you prepared for this hearing today.
Maybe not.
Part of a group of principals, senior echelons of the U.S. government, in now a widely publicized breach of sensitive information. You don't recall whether the vice president opined on the wisdom of the strikes. That's your testimony today under oath.
In that setting, I don't recall.
Here's what Secretary Hegseth said, quote, waiting a few weeks or months does not fundamentally change the calculus. Two immediate risks on waiting. One, this leaks and we look indecisive.
Leak.
Two, Israel takes an action first or Gaza ceasefire falls apart and we don't get to start this on our own terms. Your testimony is you don't recall the Secretary of Defense sending that message or reading it.
I recall there being an exchange. I don't recall the specifics as you're reading it.
Let's get to the next one if we have time.
Sure.
Well, let's put it this way, Director Ratcliffe, a discussion by senior U.S. officials on the timing and risks of a proposed military campaign and disagreements between the president and the vice president about U.S. plans and intentions would be of obvious interest to foreign intelligence services, would it not?
Yes.
Hey!
And they were discussing the timing of sending U.S. air crews into enemy airspace where they faced an air defense threat, correct?
I'm going to, Senator, defer to the other principles that you're referring
Director
to
Ratcliffe.
About what the meaning and the context of
They're
what they were
about on. The timing of U.S. airstrikes, correct?
Yes.
Yes, and therefore the timing of sending U.S. air crews into hostile airspace, correct?
Yes.
And therefore, the time period during which enemy air defenses could target U.S. air crews flying in enemy airspace, correct?
I don't know that.
You do know that.
you do know that,
right.
Sir. You do absolutely know that because you know where it's going. They're discussing the timing, the risks, the mm-hmm. fact that the vice president and the president had disagreements on this. This is information that our adversaries certainly would want to get their hands on.
Oh, they'd love to have that information.
This is the kind of information that would put our service folks in greater harm.
Yeah.
I don't know that. I don't know. You don't know. You're the director of the CIA.
This is your job.
You don't
to
know. Donald Trump. Doesn't know.
Nobody knows.
I don't know. I'm an old man. I'm confused. You got to be kidding me. We're going to come back and hear more of Senator John Ossoff. And you could see as he's lining this up, talking about the timing, talking about the risks, talking about the different ideas or the disagreements within the administration, talking about whether or not these things would be valuable to our adversaries, whether or not these issues, these conversations, this information would put our service members at greater risk. When we come back, Senator John Ossoff, he's going to get more. He's going to ask another general, Timothy Hogg, on the value of the information on the signal thread. Come back with us. More of your calls as well, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, Intelligent Committee hearing today. We're playing some sound right now. Senator John Ossoff going after CIA Director John Ratcliffe, who apparently doesn't know a lot of things, but he's in charge of the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great.
That's so reassuring.
Talking about the timing, the risks to the disagreements within the administration. Would this be valuable to our adversaries? Of course, it would be. Now, Ratcliffe apparently didn't know if it would be or not. So enter General Timothy Hogg. He's asked about this question as well. Let's play cut number three, please.
Let me ask this question, General Hogg. You lead America's signals intelligence collection. Would the private deliberation of foreign senior officials about the wisdom and timing of potential military action be a collection priority for you and the U.S. intelligence
Great
community?
Great question.
Senator, it's our job to do indications and warning for both the plans and intentions of adversary leaders and for military commanders.
And would not information about the timing of airstrikes allow a military to pre-position or cue air defense systems to shoot down enemy aircraft?
I think, Senator, from our perspective, any advance warning is something that we certainly are trying to protect.
Yes. Yes. And just let me just throw this out there before I think about it. One more cut from Senator Ossoff.
Indeed.
CBS News reporting. President Trump's Ukraine and Middle East envoy, Steve Witkoff, was in Moscow, mm-hmm. where he met with Russian President Vladimir Putin when he was included in a group chat with more than a dozen other top administration officials, including the journalist. Now, apparently, according to CBS, Russia has repeatedly tried to compromise Signal, a popular commercial messaging platform that many were shocked, I tell you, to learn senior Trump administration officials had used to discuss military planning. Witkoff arrived in Moscow shortly before noon local time on March 13th, according to data from the flight tracking website Flight Radar 24 and Russian state media broadcast of his motorcade arriving at the airport shortly after. 12 hours later, he was added to the Houthi PC called group chat on Signal, along with other top Trump administration officials to discuss this operation. He was in Russia.
Yeah.
Now, Goldberg has not recounted Witkoff making any comments in the chat until Saturday after he left Russia and returned to the U.S., where they stopped in Azerbaijan. It is unclear whether a phone issued to Witkoff by the U.S. government or a personal device was included in the Signal chat and or whether he had the device with him in Russia. But U.S. officials have been discouraged from using the messaging app on government devices, including by the Department of Defense, last week?
Yeah.
Fairly recently. So, yeah, right off the bat, one of the cats is in Russia, man. You know, mm-hmm. they got everything they got pointed at that dude.
Uh-huh.
Everything. That's what they do. That's what they just talked about, the general. That's what we do.
That's what they do.
That's what everybody does,
right,
man. That's why you don't use a Signal app, and you certainly don't include a journalist on it. And again, the bigger overriding question is, if they're using that for this, what else are they using it for? And you can set this to delete. What about government records and retention of those records? Well, of course, they're skirting that. They don't want you to know what they're doing. They don't want to preserve it for history. They want it to just all go away. Let's hear, I believe, one more cut. Senator Ossoff getting back to CIA Director John Ratcliffe. Mm-hmm. Cut four, please.
And there's a little bit of talking over each other on this one. Yeah. So just bear with it, please.
Director Ratcliffe, this was a huge mistake, correct?
No.
No, it's fine.
A national political...
Hold on.
No, you
Let
hold
me
on.
Answer.
No,
you
no,
hold on.
I asked you a yes or no question, and now you hold on. A national political reporter...
You can characterize
was privy,
it how you want.
...was made privy
the White
to
House
sensitive information about imminent military operations
mistake,
against a foreign terrorist
an inadvertent
organization.
Inadvertent mistake of adding a reporter...
And that wasn't a huge mistake? That wasn't a huge mistake?
Well, I think they characterize
this
it as
an embarrassment. This is utterly unprofessional. There's been no apology. There has been no recognition of the gravity of this error. And by the way, we will get the full transcript of this chain, and your testimony will be measured carefully against its content. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. No, it's not a big. Nah, no. It was an inadvertent mistake.
Not a big mistake.
Nah, not a big one.
Just
not
an inadvertent mistake. But what that tells me is that using Signal wasn't the mistake. Clearly, because of how this group was put together, they're using Signal.
Oh, yeah.
They're using Signal to plan everything.
And I haven't, and you know, lots of testimony today, and you can't get to all of it. I'd be very curious to know if anyone inquired to the CIA Director Ratcliffe or anybody else in the room, hey, what else do you use this for?
Yeah.
How many times have you used Signal? We're not even going to get into the content of your super secret whatever.
How much of your daily activity is coordinated over Signal?
How many Signal messages have been deleted?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are
how many official actions have been coordinated over Signal?
This is the first time, I swear. 855-752-4842. Let's squeeze Cam in. You are up. Welcome, Cam. What do you got for us? Cam? Hello, Cam. We lost Cam?
Cam.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, no. All right. Hey, man, get us off Signal. Hey, welcome.
Because the dog was pissed anytime I opened the window. Or sorry, the refrigerator, you know, same thing. Hey, so there's one other detail that's missing inside of this.
Yes.
An ex aide to the Kremlin, Sergei Markov, he posted on Telegram showing that our senator or gentleman, the Wyckoff, sorry, I'm not by my computer right now. I usually
Wyckoff.
Notes, but Wyckoff, yeah, thank you. Wyckoff didn't leave the Kremlin until like 1:30 a.m. or a little bit around 2 a.m. in their local time. And that means that when they were sending that information back and forth, he had it while he was talking to Putin.
That seems like a bad idea. I'm just saying. There's so much to unpack here. Sloppy by this administration, most certainly. And again, the fact of there's no contrition, no apology, no acknowledgement, no punishment. Well, what would stop him from doing it again? Come back with us. 855-752-4842. Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It is not last call around here. We got a whole another half hour, and we end this fine program. Tell us something good.
That's right.
We'll wrap up the day with a smile on our face. Join us, 855-752-4842. Okay, so Pete Hegseth. Yeah, this guy. Okay.
Secretary of Defense.
Is that what it is? Is that a drinking game? I'm not clear exactly what that means. Axios reporting Hegseth denied an explosive report on Monday that he accidentally texted highly sensitive war plans to a journalist.
How's he supposed to remember?
Wasn't me, man. Wasn't me. Remember the song? Was that Shaggy? Wasn't me.
Wasn't me.
Wasn't me. Of course, that was a takeoff of Eddie Murphy. Maybe Raw, I believe it was. 87? Wasn't me. I saw you, Andy. I saw you. No, wasn't me. I guess it wasn't you. You keep saying it enough, maybe people will believe it. I'm not buying it. I don't believe it. I got a BS alert, man. I get it. You just know.
You got a radar for it.
I mean, I've given my own here and there, so you got to take one to know one, right? I'll take that. I resemble that remark.
Mm-hmm.
Hegseth spoke briefly to reporters after landing in Hawaii on Monday, lashed out at Goldberg for the Atlantic's history of publishing negative stories. All right, let's get to, you know, blame the messenger. That's what every innocent, totally, totally honest person does.
Every time. Always.
All the time. So let's hear what Petey Drunky Hegseth had to say about Goldberg. Why is he talking about Goldberg instead of his actions? Cut one.
Can you share how your information about war plans against the Houthis in Yemen was shared with a journalist in The Atlantic? And were those details classified?
You're talking about a deceitful and highly discredited so-called journalist who's made a profession of peddling hoaxes time and time again, to include the hoaxes of Russia, 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 or the fine people on both sides hoax, or suckers and losers hoax. So this is a guy that peddles in garbage. This is what he does.
So number one, didn't answer the question. Number Correct. Two, attacks the journalist. And number three, is factually wrong. And I'll point you out to NBC News report from, let's see, when is this? I don't have a date here. Oh, damn. NBC News reported, this is from October 3rd of 2023. These suckers and losers?
Mm-hmm.
Well, John Kelly confirmed that. Who's John Kelly? Well, he was, what, the former White House chief of staff under Donald Trump.
But what would he know?
Well, here's what John Kelly said. In a statement to CNN, again, this is back in 03, Kelly delivered a scathing criticism of Trump while confirming reporting in The Atlantic in 2020 that detailed the comments he made during his presidency. Pete Hegseth, is your Google broke, man? Or are you just trying to gaslight everyone?
Yes.
Quote, a person who thinks those who defend their country in uniform or are shot down or seriously wounded in combat or spend years being tortured as POWs are all suckers because, quote, there is nothing in it for them, Kelly said of Trump. A person that did not want to be seen in the presence of the military amputees because it doesn't look good for me. A person who demonstrated open contempt for a Gold Star family, for all Gold Star families on TV during the 2016 campaign and rants that our most precious heroes who gave their lives in America's defense are losers and wouldn't visit their graves in France. That, Hegseth, is John Kelly. John Kelly was a former Trump White House chief of staff, confirming that story that you just ranted about in The Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people, are you listening here? Do you understand this man is lying to your face, not addressing the question, and certainly doesn't think he did anything wrong? Let's hear more from the defense secretary.
Sure.
Details shared on Signal, and how did you learn that a journalist was privy to the targets, the types of weapons used?
I've heard I was characterized. Nobody was texting war plans, and that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, nobody, huh?
And that's all I have to say about that. Wasn't there a movie about this, man? What? Forrest Gump over here? Are you kidding me? That's it. No more questions. We're fine. It's all fine. No, don't worry about it. No big deal. No one's texting anything. No. The emoji boys. God. 855-752-4842. Tammy Duckworth.
Yes.
Veteran Tammy Duckworth. She had a comment on this. She's a senator, I believe, right?
She is.
Yeah, let's hear Senator Duckworth's take on all of this.
If this starts out with Pete Hegseth, that's literally the most unqualified Secretary of Defense in history. And this is further demonstrating his incompetence. And by he's literally leaking classified war plans via group chat, right? He's the guy who actually uploaded. He knew this was classified information. He uploaded it. It's a stunning breach of our national security by Pete Hegseth and Trump administration. They've done this before. And frankly, this puts the lives of our servicemen and women in danger. And I have to ask the same question that you just asked. Don't they care? Don't they care about the men and women in uniform who are going to be flying those missions? And by the way, if you were our allies, I would be thinking twice about sharing classified information with the United States for future missions. And that could put our men and women in uniform who are in harm's way right now in danger. Shame on them. All these people need to lose their jobs.
Yes, they do. They absolutely do. Thank you, Senator Duckworth, for articulating that. You're damn right. I mean, when our friend, and I don't, you know, when our friends stop sharing information with us, mm-hmm. that's not a great sign. And that fact alone, if that were to be the case, if all of a sudden people are like, man, in America, they're going crazy over there. See,
they're a mess.
That's just a mess. We're not doing that. We're not going to give them this information. We don't know what they're going to do with it.
Right.
And because what they do with it could potentially put our friendly countries, our allies, also at risk. If you are that lackadaisical with this type of information, why on earth would you share that with Pete Hegseth?
Good old Whiskey Leaks. Thank you, Dana from La Crosse.
Oh, Dana, I like it, Whiskey Leaks. Uncle Tony, he texts in, I guess like a screenshot from I Smoke Tootie's PC small group chat. Come on, Democrats. Secretary of Defense was drunk texting plans of a highly classified military operation. Get on TV, call it treason, demand a criminal investigation, call for resignations, and when they cover it up, call for the public to support impeachment. This is a slam dunk. 855-752-4842. I think it'd be a stretch for treason, but certainly could be considered criminal. And if this is the behavior of this administration using unsanctioned, unsafe, encrypted apps to, number one, communicate illegally about their plans, number one, and number two, to not have a record, to avoid all sorts of freedom of information, to avoid the scrutiny of the public, of the people they claim to serve. That's problematic.
Mm-hmm. And there has now, this is some breaking news, there is a lawsuit being filed in the Washington, D.C. court in order to preserve those files on Signal. So we will keep up on that.
And also, before we get to the calls, 855-752-4842, Jeffrey Goldberg, again, this is the guy who got this information, said he could be open to sharing more details from a Signal group chat he was mistakenly added. I get the defensive reaction, he said Tuesday during an interview with The Bulwark, but my obligation, I feel, is to the idea that we take national security information seriously. Yeah, maybe in the coming days, I will be able to say, okay, I have a plan to make this material vetted publicly, Goldberg said, but I'm not going to say that now. The guy still got the information. Like,
right. He took. You think that he just took screenshots of the parts that he uploaded and he shared with the Atlantic article? No.
Right,
man
on.
Took screenshots of the whole damn thing.
Fist bumps. Woohoo.
Flag. Fire.
Boom. Emoji bros. We're being ruled by the emoji bros. I mean, such Bush League stuff. 855-752-4842. Let's get to some of our very patient callers. Paul from Spooner, you are up. Welcome, Paul. What do you got for us?
I believe we have the most dangerous president this country's ever had. Mm. He's a Russian agent. The reason that these people were visiting with Russia, or with Putin at the time, I believe, was they needed to get permission to do it. When you're an agent of Russia, why would you have these people sitting in front of Russia, the Russian, you know, Putin, and why would you even send it to him at the time unless you expected them to forward it to somebody? And then the next part was, we're not going to admit to anything. This is Donald Trump. You will throw everybody, like you said, throw the victim under the bus. In this case, it's the poor reporter became a victim because he happened to be right. doing his job. And, right. and then now they're going to blame him because he did something and now he's actually reporting on what he's supposed to do. And we can't really decide until we see what's released. Because we're listening to what they're saying, but we don't really know what was released. Which brings up another thing. I guess if you did something illegal, you're not going to admit what you did. Because
right.
we know the Supreme Court has given Donald Trump immunity to everything in the world. But guess what? Everybody underneath him doesn't have immunity. We can still go after those people. And they had better watch themselves because those are the people that are going to end up getting locked up later on.
Yeah, absolutely, Paul. Yes, a great point. Thank you for calling. The president may have this new expanded king-like authority and immunity granted to him by the Supreme Court, but nobody else does.
That's right.
Now he can deal out pardons like cards if he wants to, but I mean he's already done that.
True.
So what are we left with? 855-752-4842. A couple more callers. That's what we're left with. Neil from Glendale, you are next. Welcome, Neil. What do you got for us?
Well, I'm just wondering, are these the same people who would have skewered Obama and Biden?
Oh, yeah.
And are still yelling, lock her up?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes, right.
We are definitely living in the bizarro world. What an embarrassing time to be an American. I mean, it just is beyond comprehension. The fraud, the cover up, and the lie. I mean, if anything close to this would have happened during the Obama or Biden administration, you'd see blood coming from their teeth.
Oh. right. Or their eyes or whatever.
Right.
Hey, Neil, absolutely a great point. And honestly, objectively speaking, I think if this would happen under a president that I supported, I'd still be critical.
Absolutely.
Listen,
this isn't acceptable.
This is not about whether or not this is a political leaning one way or the other. I certainly don't like their politics. Okay, fair enough. But number one, this is our country, we the people. And these folks are using systems that circumvent our ability to make sure that they're doing the people's job for Freedom of Information Acts, for example. Let alone the fact that they threw this guy on. This is not a political issue. This is literally a national insecurity issue. This is about competency. And, of course, it goes to character. What do we see? They attack. Hegseth, he attacks. Even though during his attack, he doesn't answer the question. He attacks the journalist. And then he throws out all these other fraud or lies that was perpetrated by the Atlantic. Like, I don't know, quoting John Kelly, the former chief of staff for the president, talking about suckers and losers. That literally happened. He went on the record and said that, Haig said.
There's also the fine people on both sides. We have that tape.
I mean, come on. 855-752-4842. Richard from Waukesha, you are next. Welcome, Richard. What do you got for us?
I got some ideas and suggestions from my knowledge of Watergate.
All right.
Through it. We need to get some judges to stand up on the bench and get some of these little guys so we can get them under oath and get maybe a John Dean that won't take the bribe or won't sit in jail. I just think maybe it could happen.
Well, I got to tell you, man, the judiciary and the judges, they're standing up, man. I mean, they are, and I think justifiably pushing back because some of these actions by this administration are certainly unconstitutional. You cannot, by executive fiat, you know, just automatically change the entirety of this country. Now, the president certainly has lots of powers with the executive orders in his administration. He can change things within that administration to a degree. But again, the overreach by this administration, the effort. I mean, what do we have? 130 lawsuits so far. 40 or 50 stays. You know, the administration's won some. Okay, you know that's why we go through this process. But man, to have to, if our only hope is to rely on the judges, folks, you know, what are we doing? What are we doing? I know what you're doing. You're coming back. Well, let's tell us something good. We got one final segment. We'll take your calls, whatever your topics may be. We'll certainly get to them. But. You know, justice rule, you got to start by telling us something good. Join us, 855-752-4842. Come back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. It's the phone line. It's the text line. And you know how we roll in the last segment of the day. Tell us something good and then tell us what's on your mind. Let's get to it. Wisco Paul, you will be next. Welcome. What do you got for us, Paulie?
Hey, good afternoon, Dom. Great show today, by the way. Very interesting. My good is the Mark Johnson and the Wisconsin women's NCAA team, hockey team, winning the national
championship. Yeah, man.
Seventh time. That's just totally awesome. Someday there'll be a statue of him out in front of the Labatt Arena there. So thanks for the great show. And the Badger hockey women's team is awesome.
Yeah, man, Paulie, thank you for bringing that up. We didn't get to it yesterday. Congratulations, Wisconsin Badgers women hockey team national champions. They are huge. Oh, man, that's awesome. Thank you so much, Paulie, for bringing it up, reminding us, and congratulations to the Badgers. How about you, Jess? You got anything good you want to share?
I do. So yesterday, my friend and yours, Greg Bach, gave me a music recommendation. I get a little stuck in my ways sometimes with my music. Right. So every once in a while, when I know someone has musical tastes that line up with me, I'll ask them. And I was looking for some new prog rock or some old prog rock recommendations. And he recommended Dream Theater to me. And I listened to their album Awake start to finish while I was making dinner last night. And it was just a really excellent way to decompress from the day, enjoy some music, and just be. So if any of y'all are looking for a nice little music rec, I think it's like a 1994 album. It's older than I am.
We got to play. Is that Pull Me Under is the song I remember from them. Was that a Pull
Me? It's not on there.
It's not on. Okay.
That is one of theirs.
Yes. Maybe we should get a little Pull Me Under.
Okay. make a note. I'll
That's
make a
good
note.
Stuff. That's good stuff.
You got something good?
Well, I got a couple of things.
All right.
Number one, saw on the planner under my shared calendar with my lovely wife Stephanie, we got a date night tonight.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like okay, that. Okay, like, honey, okay, what's going okay. on? So we're going out to this restaurant that opened up in Bayview recently. And it's supposed to be really good. We haven't been there yet. And it kind of happened. My brother's in-law had reservations for tonight. But a week or two ago, they just happened to be at the bar.
And sure.
Went and ate and drank and got their fix. And so kept the reservation, gave it to us.
Delightful.
And now when we get done with this show today, I'm going to go home and pick up my wife, and we are going to go get some food and drinks.
Oh,
and,
yeah. Will you enjoy that and report back?
I will certainly do so. And Steffi's a foodie.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'll eat anything. I'll eat anything. I'll drink anything. Certainly some stuff tastes better.
Sure.
But she has very distinguished taste, obviously. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And then this other one, it's just too damn cute. Found this one on the Drudge Report.
Mm-hmm.
World's oldest cat marks 30th birthday, as owner says.
Oh.
She only drinks bottled water. Leslie took over caring for Millie, the cat, when his late wife, Paula, passed away with COVID. Now the pair have marked the Muggy's milestone 30th birthday.
Aww. 30. Oh, kitty.
Credits the kitty's life for long life to drinking only bottled water.
Huh. Interesting.
Huh. Leslie believes a cat, his tortoise shell cat, Millie, is the oldest living feline. Now, the quote here, which is kind of sad, here's what he said. I had a birthday cake made with her face on it. It was such a hot day, she was licking all the ice cream off. My life ambition is to get her in the Guinness Book of World Records, but I can't prove her age. The only person who can do that is my late wife, who sadly died 5 years ago.
Aw,
Leslie. So congratulations.
Millie the kitty.
Millie the old ass kitty drinking a bottle of water, man. 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. Jack from the Mac, you got something good? Share it with us, buddy. Welcome. What do you got?
Yeah, my wife, the artist, is leaving this weekend. That is to say, she and my stepdaughter are going on a retreat at the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum down in New Mexico.
Nice.
So that's a thing.
Right on, Jack. So what are you going to do, man? Are you going to get out? What's your plan?
Oh, I'll probably sit in and do a few tunes at some jazz club or
yeah.
All
right. Well, right on, Jack. Enjoy your time playing the tunes. Andrew from Maine says, my good thing for the day, it warmed up enough to rain instead of snow today. While it missed most of the bumper music, I know it was good.
It was.
We always got good bumper music
always.
Here.
Do you know?
What?
Well, you know.
I know.
Audience, we have a playlist on Spotify with all of our bumper music.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So that's public. Anyone can go see that?
Anyone can go see it. It's linked in every episode of our show notes.
What's the name of the playlist?
The Dom Salvia Show Bumper Library. It's very, very original.
Digging deep on that one. No, I go there sometimes.
Right,
because I obviously love the music we play, so
yeah.
Sometimes I'll go there. But I like what you're saying. You gotta reach out and get some new once in a while.
Absolutely.
Meanwhile, I've been going back to the James Gang. You know, something about that 70s rock, man. It was just a little dirtier back then.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, folks, thank you so much for hanging out with us and listening today. We certainly appreciate it. Tomorrow, Matt Rothschild is going to join us again. Tomorrow, we'll get you all caught up on the news of the day and the continued fallout from this administration.
Oh,
and the other thing, also, remember, folks, when we're paying attention to things like this, there's always something else going on. So keep your head on a swivel and keep it locked. Stick around. Pete Schwab of the Nightlight is coming up next. Have a great night. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community.
Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.